Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. New Line Theater is known for its productions of adult alternative musical theater. And as St. Louis on the Air contributor Steve Potter reports, continues that tradition with the regional premiere of Atomic, based on the true story of the creation of the atomic bomb.
That is The Atom Bomb Is Here 1960 from the musical Atomic. New Line Theater's production is up and running through June the 25th. And here from their home in Sydney, Australia, please welcome Danny Gingas, who wrote the book, and Philip Foxman, who wrote the music, and they share credit for the lyrics. Welcome to you both to St. Louis.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Scott Miller is New Line's artistic director. He's here too. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Steve.
And you'd be directing this with Mike Dowdy, as you often do?
Yes, indeed.
I'm not sure if that was always or often.
Often. Well, usually.
What we just heard, can you tell me what that piece is about?
So we start, the show starts in 1960, like the fear of nuclear war, which I personally kind of grew up with and which kind of probably motivated me to look into the history of it and start writing this piece.
Well, you wrote the book, and that's because it was something on your mind at the time when you were younger?
When I was younger, yeah. I was quite kind of fearful of nuclear war. I mean, we're a long way from the action in Australia, but it was definitely a presence there.
Philip, what about you? What does that whole Manhattan Project and the atomic bomb mean to you as a younger person?
You know, growing up in Australia, once again, it was very, you're kind of removed from it. But when I moved to New York in the 80s, and you started seeing all the bomb shelter things, and you started talking to people about what it was like and meeting friends, parents, and it was a very scary time. And plus, also, I was always fascinated with the whole Cold War history, you know.
It means something to me, too. You know, I went to grade school in the 1960s, and I clearly remember the drills we would have. What did they call it? Duck and cover?
Duck and cover, yeah.
Right? They showed
as
you
if
how
that
to crouch.
Would help.
We would practice crouching under our school desk in case there was an atomic attack. Yeah, I remember that clearly.
Yeah.
And it was kind of frightening for a young boy. Scott, do you relate to that, too?
Not that directly, because I was a little bit later. But I was growing up in the Cold War, and, you know, we have tons of nukes, and they have tons of nukes, and who's going to drop them, and, you know, are we going to misunderstand each other, and is going to be some international incident, and an atomic bomb gets dropped, you know, so that was kind of always hovering over me.
Well, Philip, you wrote the music, and it's a rock musical. I mean, could it be anything but rock?
Exactly.
What do you think?
Exactly. I mean, the emotions are so heightened. The story is just a big story. I mean, you know, we were asked a few times in different interviews, you know, why choose rock? And then it was obvious that this was the way to go with it, you know? You couldn't really express those emotions with sort of like big band music or sort of early jazz or something. It just wouldn't work, I think. The songs like the one you just heard earlier are just big and they're passionate, and I think melodic rock music really covers that area.
Well, you both live in Australia and you came here just for this production. Why was it important for you to come here to see this?
Well, this is kind of the last of the development process. Like we had an off-Broadway run in New York, and we learned a lot through that process because that was our first U.S. in front of a U.S. audience, and we sat with the audience and talked to them. And learned a lot and felt that it needed a rewrite.
Well, that's not uncommon, is it, for things to develop as they go on? But I understand in this case there's been a lot of that.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And in Michigan we sat in on rehearsals and, you know, tweaked it. And this was kind of our first letting go of, you know, giving it to someone that we hopefully trusted and Scott's definitely lived up to that trust.
If I'm right, this is the first time you guys haven't been at all involved.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is just the fourth production since of the show altogether, right?
Yeah.
Even though I tried, and Scott kept saying, no. I would send him these texts from Australia. How's things going? Do you need me?
Is that hard for you to sort of let go?
It is, you know, because as a songwriter, you're always hearing things. You're always thinking, oh, maybe I could put that melody in there or could that. But, you know, you got to walk away from the baby and let it grow up.
Right. With that being too detailed, you said that you've done a lot of work on it since the first production. How has it changed? What were some of the major things that you tweaked on it?
Probably the major thing was the tone of it. Like, we started, you know, it's a serious story, and I guess the obvious route is to try and soften it with humour. So the first two productions had a lot of humour in it, and we kind of felt that that wasn't right. It needed to be treated with the... It deserved to be treated with a bit more gravity, and that's where we went.
Scott, you've shown a lot of interest in the past in productions that maybe didn't go over so well in New York. You know, I guess a lot of companies like to do shows that are big hits right away. That's not exactly been your philosophy?
No. Well, we don't seek out shows that don't run very long, but often those are the shows that are the coolest. You know, that somebody of great talent writes a show and they put it up in New York. The tourists don't necessarily want that show, but we do, so and our audiences do.
Did you see it there?
No, no, I didn't.
Well, what drew you to this?
Well, I was reading a lot about it as it was, you know, in rehearsal and opening and so forth, and I thought, that's totally a story I want to tell. That sounds cool to me. And I saw a video on YouTube of one song from the Australian production that was just so wonderful, and just kind of the approach of it just kind of thrilled me, and I thought, okay, whatever show this is a part of must be very, very good. So I contacted the guys. They sent me the script, the off-Broadway script, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I liked a lot, but then they told me right away that they were doing rewrites and kind of told me the kind of things they were doing rewrites about, which sounded really, really good to me. So I did like the other script, but the script we have now is a lot better, I think.
You remember The Death of Klinghoffer?
Yeah.
The opera? I remember being so shocked back at the time about the plot of that and the storyline for an opera, and I kind of felt the same way when I read about this. Right. A musical about the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
What do we need to know about the Manhattan Project?
Well, this story tells you everything you don't know about the Manhattan Project.
Yeah, that's really true.
It's not set in Los Alamos. It's set in Chicago. Oppenheimer's in it, but he's not the lead. It's around Leo Szilard, who not many people know about, but he was very much instrumental in starting the project and building the first nuclear reactor. And yeah,
I gotta say, because a lot of people have said to me, "Really, a musical about the Manhattan Project?" But I think what's cool about it is it's not really about the project. It's really about these people who were working on it, mostly physicists, who really had to grapple with what this meant and what they were creating and what the result of that would be and, you know, how they deal with it later. I mean, you know, it's really a story about the emotional kind of roller coaster that all these people went through.
Because it was a contest to develop the atomic bomb, but then no one knows what that's going to lead to. Could it be the end of humanity?
Hmm. Yeah, like real moral gray area, which is really interesting to me.
Well, let's hear another piece from the show. This is Greater Battle. Would you set that up?
Yes. It's really Leo coming to terms with what has to happen, you know, going forward in the show. He's really, he has a sense that he now has to go out there and get a petition and try to get all the physicists he can to sign this petition to try to stop the bomb, because he believes that Germany has surrendered, and as a result of the surrender, we do not need the bomb anymore. And he's basically saying what this was being developed for, we do not need.
But he put the wheels in motion, right?
Run.
And now he's saying stop.
He's saying stop.
The war we feared and fought against is over. The day we longed and prayed for has now come. Our greatest fear proved wrong. There was no German bomb. The dead now number in the tens of millions. And though so much was lost, the war is won. It took 12 tragic years, but there's no time for tears. A new and greater battle's on the way. And if we lose, we'll have the world to pay. Can you hear the war drums roll in this new battle for us?
New Line Theater presents Atomic. It's up and running through June the 25th. We're talking to New Line's artistic director, Scott Miller, and with Philip Foxman and Danny Genghis, who have written the music and the lyrics and everything else. Maybe we should mention the band, Jeffrey Carter and the band, and what kind of accompaniment you have with us.
Yeah, we've got a seven-piece rock band with a couple of strings. Jeffrey Carter, who's the head of the music department at Webster, is our resident music director, so he leads our band on keyboards. It's a really, really cool band.
Great band.
Mm. So Atomic, we begin in 1930s Berlin. Is that where the whole thing begins?
Yeah.
And you mentioned that character Leo, who's a scientist of some sort.
Yeah,
he's a physicist.
And what's going on in his life?
He's usually the smartest man in the room, unless you have... Like, even if you had Einstein in the room, he might still be the smartest man in the room. And he knows it, and he is a very moral person, and he wants to use his intellect to help humanity. That's kind of his driving goal. So, you know, when he sees Germany coming to power, he knows before anybody else.
Well, he has an assistant, I think, that plays a kind of a key role in this too, doesn't he?
Well, his girlfriend, Trude Weiss, who was also a scientist, not a physicist. And a big part of the story is... I guess in a lot of musicals, how do you balance work and life? And how does he balance this commitment to saving the world from Hitler with his love for this woman who he's kind of ignoring?
Okay, so he's doing this, and all the while the war is escalating. I guess it's reaching a fever pitch. So what's happening?
Yeah, well, so he comes up with this idea of the nuclear chain reaction. And when some years later... Germany splits the atom, he knows, you know, where it's going to go. He's been living that. And he gets his friend, his teacher, Einstein, to write the letter to Roosevelt that starts the action. He works with Fermi and Teller, some fellow scientists, to get the ball rolling.
Right.
And
they flee Berlin and come to the United States, right?
Yeah.
And it's from the United States where he tries to, like, tries to put a halt to this whole thing.
Yeah.
Scott, I understand this was challenging for you.
On a number of levels.
You had to take a physics refresher course or something?
Well, it was kind of a happy accident. Our set designer, Rob Lippert, who also designed our awesome new theater, the Marcel, his wife is a science teacher, Kathleen Dwyer, and kind of as a hobby, she studies nuclear physics. And so she came in and we had a three-hour physics class where she taught us what happens when you split the atom and why it matters and how it becomes another element and how the bomb is made. And we learned all the basics of how and why the bomb works because they talk about this stuff in the show. And I really wanted to make sure that the actors had a basic understanding of what they were talking about, you know. And this is kind of complicated stuff, but it's really neat. And then she also brought us books about all the characters, and it was really nice. It was this amazing kind of crash course in what we needed to know.
And Leo, the physicist behind all this, at some point, doesn't he start exploring how the elements of the atomic bomb can be used for good?
Yeah, well, he...
That's part of the story.
Yeah,
well, that's when he comes up with the idea, when he decides whether to get into biology or nuclear physics. That's his motivation, to help mankind with that. And the war kind of gets in the way. But towards the end, he develops cancer and, develops a treatment for his own cancer.
Philip, we were all talking earlier about our memories of this time and place. Wonder if you didn't live through it. Is this something easy to relate to?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world right now in terms of the nuclear wars and the nuclear, you know, armament and everything. And I think, you can. You can, as a songwriter and as someone who's a writer as well, you can. You can relate to it, and that's a good way. You personalize these stories, and then you can write these songs about them.
Well, since you sort of have artistic control of this now, Scott, this time, what are the things that you've put into this? How have you changed it up?
Yeah, I don't think we've changed, really. The one thing that we realized about it up front is that we're used to very kind of ironic, sarcastic, smart-alecky kind of shows. This is a very straightforward, sincere, earnest show. These people are very, very serious about this stuff. So that was part of it. And the other part of it was it moves so fast. It's just like this freight train. And part of it was just to keep it going. I guess always my job is figure out what this thing is and then how do we communicate that to the audience. And I think in this case, it really was about kind of respecting the material and the people, these characters that kind of guided us.
I guess we should mention that it has adult themes.
Somewhat, yeah. Not like a lot of our New Line shows. This isn't Jerry Springer the Opera.
Danny, you have a background in advertising. That's sort of interesting.
Yeah.
How'd you go from advertising to rock musicals?
Actually, the one thing about this show, I've got a very short attention span, which is why I'm in advertising, because I work on, you know, five things a day, and it works for me. So this was great because it was such a big, multifaceted beast that it worked for me because, you know, I could work on all these different components of it and, you know, still maintain an interest in it.
Uh-huh. And Philip, you're a performer. I know you have your own band, and I think you perform solo too.
Yeah, I do. So I have my own band, and here I've had albums out that I did when I was living in New York. Had a couple of albums out there, and I started off in Australia in bands, and yeah, I do my own things as well.
Well, we're going to go out with this from the show. This is The Atom Bomb Is Here, 1945. And before we do that, though, looking back in time to where this is set, and looking at thinking about the Manhattan Project, is there a message for us today?
Wow. You know, I think what I like most about this show is it does not come down on one side or the other of any of these arguments. You know, all these people are really smart and really brilliant, and in some way they're all right, even though they're all disagreeing. And I think that's kind of what's significant.
Well, it's something that Danny came up with. If everybody works together, Danny...
Yeah. Well, Leo says it in the show. One thing they learned from it is they're all disparate people, military, army, government, but they all work together to do something that they believed in.
Well, Atomic, thank you all for bringing it to St. Louis.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Don't know who I am. Of course you don't know what I've done. I've been down the mines while others bask in this atomic sun. I wasn't working for a prize, wasn't chasing fame or wealth. I gave everything away to help the world, not help myself.
That was Steve Potter speaking with New Line Theater Artistic Director Scott Miller. He also talked with playwright Danny Genkis and composer Philip Foxman, the creators of the musical Atomic, which is running Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights at 8 through June 25th at the Marcel Theater in Grand Center. You can find more details at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.